The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So let's talk about proclaiming a fast. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, that's where I get this this message, or the title of this message, Proclaiming a Fast. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel, or the king of Judah, I should say. Now remember, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided. The northern kingdom went with Rehoboam. The southern kingdom went with Jeroboam. The northern kingdom was 10 tribes. You don't hear much about the 10 tribes, lost tribes of Israel anymore. But the tribes of Israel are still alive and well, I can guarantee that. The southern kingdom, which was Benjamin and Judah, became known as Judah. So it's northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom Judah. Jehoshaphat was the king at this time of Judah. And there was a great army that was coming against Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a godly king. The Word of God says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He loved the Lord and he served the Lord. So when a great army came against him, he knew what to do. He knew to turn to the Lord God Almighty, because only God could deliver the small nation from these large nations that were coming against them, two or three nations coming against them. Jehoshaphat also knew that one of the things that must take place was that the people needed to fast and pray. The people needed to get their hearts right. And that's what fasting and praying is all about. It's not moving God. It's moving us into a position where we can hear from the living God. It's getting our hearts right before the Lord. So Jehoshaphat called the people together, and he feared. How many know that it's natural to have fear? You realize, come on. You know, I've heard all the faith teachings and all the things that, you know, they tell you that if you have fear, you don't have faith. But listen, it's a natural experience for human beings to experience fear. Now, what do we do with that fear? Yes, I do believe that we have to overcome that fear by faith. And we have to push that fear out by faith. But just like Jehoshaphat, there are times in our life where fear enters in. What are we going to do about that? That's the thing that took place here. Yes, Jehoshaphat and all the people were afraid, but he set himself to seek the Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. What more can you say about that? When fear comes, set yourself to seek the Lord. Remember who your God is. Recall what, you know, think about the things that he's already done for you in the past. Maybe you're a new believer in Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you that you will have a life filled with miracles and incredible things taking place if you set yourself to seek the Lord. And one of the ways you set yourself to seek the Lord is just like Jehoshaphat and the people did. Jehoshaphat, the king, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. All the kingdom, he proclaimed a fast. Now, what you have to understand is when the king proclaimed a fast, he expected everybody to fast. He wasn't exempting people. Everybody's going to fast. You're going to participate in this fast. And what they did was the king made a proclamation. They would write that proclamation down, and he would have couriers who would go out into the vast places of the kingdom. And those couriers would proclaim the fast in the name of the king. The king proclaimed the fast. Now, he put a seal on it, his signet, and that fast, that proclamation was hung in the city. So when the people who didn't hear the proclamation from the courier heard about it from word of mouth, they would come into the city or the town and they would find out whether this proclamation was true, and they would see that it was hung on a you know, a place in the, mostly at the gates of the cities or the towns, in a particular place where everyone would come to find out the news of the kingdom. So the proclamation was for everyone. And what I'm saying to you this morning is the proclamation for us to fast. I'm not a king, and I don't proclaim to be a king. I'm just a pastor. So my proclamation to fast is a choice that you have to make if you want to participate in it. But I can tell you this, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords has proclaimed that we are to fast. That's a discipline that's supposed to take place in a believer's life. In Matthew, Jesus teaches us how to pray, Matthew chapter 6. And he says this, if you pray with unforgiveness in your heart, that's basically what he's saying here in the scripture, you're wasting your time. So we got to get to the place where we don't have any unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will spoil what God is trying to do in our lives. Then he links breakthrough prayer with fasting, because he says this, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will do what? He will reward you openly. It's not wrong to have expectations of God rewarding you. The scripture is very clear. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Prayer and fasting is diligently seeking him. He will reward you openly. Do not think that it's wrong for you to have expectation of your Lord God, your Father in heaven, to reward you openly. If you have children, if you're a parent, you love those children, do you reward them openly? I hope so. My grandson spent the night with us Friday night and Saturday night. Praise God, I love having them around most of the time. Sometimes they get it, they fight with each other. But they were great. I took him outside and we went out and we had to get some wood and went and got wood. And Marshall went with me and he helped stack wood in the truck and we brought it home. And Marshall and Owen both helped unload it. Not always enthusiastically, but they did help. We did some other things around the house. And, you know, when it was all said and done, I went inside and I got a shower and came back out and I said, okay, come on, Owen, we got one more project to do. And he said, oh, what is it? He likes to whine. I said, come on, it doesn't matter. So I took him out and I got Marshall and we got in the truck or in the van and we went out to Tupper's Plains and I gave them both $5, which wasn't enough. But they got snacks, and both of them had to have a little more money once they got up there to pay for it. But it was a reward for their efforts. I want them to learn that when you do something that is, you know, beneficial, that you can get reward. You can have expectation of reward. But I also teach them, you know, don't expect me to reward you every time you do something for me. Because I want them to learn that sometimes we just have to do things for the benefit of the family, for the benefit of the community, or the benefit of even our nation, amen, or the world, whatever. We don't have expectations always of a reward. But I can guarantee you this, there are treasures laid up in heaven for those who do the work of the kingdom. And we can have expectation that sometimes there's reward here in this earth. Sometimes we're going to get our reward when we get there. Amen. But it's awesome to know our God as a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Praise God. So the Lord linked fasting to breakthrough prayer and fasting to break through in our lives. And here's what I want you to see. He did not give us an option to fast. Look what he said. Moreover, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. So he had expectation that his people, his followers, would fast. He didn't say, you fast every week, you fast once a year, you fast this time or that time. No, he said, when you fast. So he knew that you're going to have to make some decisions, that you fast and pray. He knew that there would be times when the Holy Spirit would just come, you know, move on your life and cause you to have a desire to fast and pray. You know, those are the awesome times of prayer and fasting, because it seems like you have this supernatural power to fast. But that's not the only time we're supposed to be fasting. There are times in our life where we just need to say, okay, I'm going to fast, and it's not going to be easy. I'm not trying to tell you that this 21 days of prayer and fasting is going to be an easy thing. For some of you, it may be an easy task. For others, you're going to struggle. You're going to be like the guy who told his small group that he was going to be fasting for 3 weeks. Well, the next week when he came to small group, he came in with a whole bunch of donuts for everybody. And he was eating one as he walked in the door. His group said, hey, wait a minute, what happened here? I thought you were going to be fasting sweets. And he said, well, here's what happened. I was driving past the donut shop. And as I approached the donut shop, I said, God, if you want me to have donuts, make a parking place right in front of the donut shop. And he said, sure enough, after the 10th time around the block, there was a parking place. You're going to be tempted. It's not going to be easy. And you can make excuses. But I will say this to you, like David said to Solomon, be strong, be faithful, and do it. Amen? And we can do it. We can. This is very important to the rest of the year. This is very important to this congregation. This is important to our community. And I would venture to say, it's important to our nation. And even the world, because we pray for people who are out there in the world doing ministry all over the nations of the world. We have ministries that we support. It will impact the world. Hallelujah. That's exciting, isn't it? To know that we have that kind of power in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's take a look. As some of the things, I want to give you opportunity this morning to understand the types of fasting that you can do. So you need, it's not whether we fast or not, it's how you're going to fast. You've got to make a choice. So we're going to talk, first of all, about a full fast. In Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Okay, it says here that Jesus went out and he fasted. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He went out because he was preparing. The Holy Spirit was preparing Jesus for his ministry. When you need something in your life, when you are preparing for a task or an opportunity or a ministry, prayer and fasting is the way to go. Prepare yourself with prayer and fasting. Jesus went out and he prayed and he fasted. Now, the word there, fast, means, it literally means, the Greek word means to abstain from food and water, but they also, the rabbis taught that it would mean, if it was a short period of time, pray and fast without water as well as food. But over a long period of time, you should eat food. We all know how important water is, because, you know, we are made up of water. Water is extremely important. You can go many days without food. Many, many days without food. But when it comes to water, they say, depending on your circumstances and what's going on, 3 days to a week is the maximum a person can go without water. Okay, supernaturally, God takes care of those who do what he tells them to do. We know in Genesis or in Exodus, Moses went up on the mountain and he was there for 40 days. And the Bible specifically says that he was without food or water. God sustained him. We know supernaturally that is very possible. Here in this scripture, some scholars say, well, he went without water as well as food. But I would point out to the fact that the first temptation that the enemy brought against him was turn a rock into bread. Had he been going without water as well, I would say the temptation would have probably been turn something into water to drink. That's just a speculation on my part. It doesn't really matter. What we know is that Jesus was praying and fasting. He was doing this, and he was doing a complete fast, no food for sure. We know that. And the enemy came and tempted him. And what did Jesus do? He used the word against the enemy. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. And he continued to do that. He used the word of God against him. So I would say this to you. If you choose a full fast, and during our prayer and fasting, no matter what you choose, make sure you're in the word of God. The enemy will come against you and tempt you. The enemy will try to get you off track. The enemy will try, he will do his best to cause you to make excuses not to continue with your fast. But if you have the Word of God, you know the Word of God, you stand on the Word of God, that's why this little thing will be very helpful to all of us, because it will have the Word of God in it. But make sure you're filled with the Word of God. Amen. In 1985, Liberty University had a dean of students by the name of Vernon Brewer. Vernon Brewer was loved by the students. They all loved him. And Vernon Brewer, not long after the year started, was diagnosed with cancer. And he was given 6 months to live. Now, like I said, the students loved this guy. So the students decided on April the 25th that they were going to proclaim, 5,000 students, they were going to go up on Liberty Mountain, and they were going to proclaim a one-day fast. They were all going to fast, fully fast. For one day. They fasted, they prayed, they sought God. Now, when I first read this, it was 12 years after that circumstance took place. And 12 years later, Vernon Brewer was still alive. And he credited it to the students seeking God on his behalf. Now, I just want you to understand, there is power in prayer and fasting. There's something about giving up food or whatever it is that you give up. There's something about a sacrifice that draws us closer to God, that causes us to be able to hear, be in tune with the Holy Spirit, causes us to come into a place where God can move on our behalf. And we can have faith to move mountains. That's what prayer and fasting can do for us. The second thing is the Daniel fast. In those days, I, Daniel 10:2, was mourning 3 full weeks. And he was mourning and praying and seeking God. He needed answers. How many need some answers in your life? Hallelujah. Okay. I got some of you that are willing to admit you need answers. I need answers. I always need answers. In every area of my life, I need some answers from God. I need direction from my God. I can't do this thing, this pastor thing, this husband thing, this life thing, without my God. I can't do it. And I admit I'm weak. I'm a frail human being. But I have an awesome and mighty God who is powerful, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My little granddaughter, Emberly, her mom must have been, or she picked it up somewhere. She picked up that scripture. I can do all things. Well, she left out, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you ask her, was she would say, I can do all things. Well, she'll catch on to the fact that it's because Christ who strengthens her. But we can do all things. We really can do all things because God is in us, because we have the power. But prayer and fasting brings us to the place where we have a recognition of the power of God that is working through us. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Anointed, it says he didn't anoint himself. Now, first of all, he ate no pleasant food. We believe that he was probably on a vegetable diet. But a vegetable fast. He wasn't eating any pleasant foods. But he also says, I didn't anoint myself. Now, anointing oil or fragrances were what we would consider deodorant or perfume. And also, there are some Bible scholars that believe this, that Daniel did not bathe for 3 whole weeks. Now, although some of you may choose a Daniel fast, please don't choose that part of it. Use deodorant. First of all, take a bath. Use some deodorant. Yes, hallelujah. You want to keep your friends and your church family. Amen. Hallelujah. But here's what we see in this, that he gave up something. He gave up the pleasant things. He still had nourishment because he was working and he was using energy, so he needed some nourishment. But in that, he also decided, hey, I'm giving up something. I'm going to give up these meats and delicacies and wine and all these things that were set before him every day at the king's table. So it took some willpower. But Daniel did it. And what happened? There's spiritual warfare going on. I'm telling you, this will be spiritual warfare for this church. And there will be power that will come from it. It says then in verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. An angel came to minister to Daniel and to share things with him and to enlighten him. But the prince, here's the key. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Here's what it's some speculation, but it appears that Daniel's fasting allowed the angel to have a breakthrough by the Michael coming and helping him overcome this demonic force, the principality of Persia. You know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not just a fun, nice scripture to memorize. This is really about the warfare that we are in. We're wrestling with these real principalities and powers. There are principalities and powers set up over this area. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pull them down. In Jesus' name. But we have to have spiritual power to do so. We have to recognize that there's certain things that need to happen. Jesus said, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. You encounter a principality over an area, you're talking about a spiritual force to be reckoned with. But if you know who you are in Christ, they cannot defeat us. Amen. So this was happening. This was real. And because Daniel, and it appears because Daniel fasted and prayed, that force was overcome. And the angel broke through, and the angel came and ministered to him. I've got a couple of testimonies I'm going to share this morning. And those testimonies come from Korea. And the reason I'm sharing these from Korea is because Dr. Youngi Cho's church is Full Gospel Church in Korea, one of the largest churches in the world. I know at one time it was the largest church in the world. I'm assuming it probably still is. But they have this prayer mountain. And on prayer mountain, people have accommodations for 10,000 people. And they encourage people to go to prayer mountain and pray and fast. In fact, when somebody comes for prayer and has this problem of any kind, it appears that their first suggestion is, go to prayer mountain, pray and fast. Now, we live in a society where we have this this idea that we need to have results immediately. Amen? So what we like is that we like to go to somebody who has an anointing on their life and pray for us and see our problems disappear. I like what they do at Prayer Mountain, at Dr. Cho's church, because it puts the responsibility on the person to seek God. Many times people will come and you know, there's an evangelist and they get prayer and nothing happens. Well, what kind of effort did you put in to receiving from God? That's why I believe that prayer and fast. I like what they do. I like the idea that, hey, go off and pray and fast first. And let's see what God says to you. You don't need me to intervene for you. You need the Holy Spirit intervening for you. You need the power of God. Let's do some prayer and fasting. This guy that I'm sharing with you was a member of Dr. Cho's church in Korea. And the pastor that he went to made a suggestion that he go to Prayer Mountain and begin to pray. And the pastor would go with him. The reason he came was because many years prior to that, he was a teacher. And many years prior to that, he was teaching on an island, an isolated island. He very seldom went into Seoul. And he was lonely and he started drinking. He drank wine. And he became an alcoholic, and his life began to spiral out of control. He went to a hospital, and they helped him a little bit, but they told him, listen, this alcohol is killing you. If you don't quit the alcohol, you are certainly going to die. It's eating your liver. He tried for a while and couldn't do it on his own. So he said, okay, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to see what they say and have them pray for me. And he went, and the pastor, first thing pastor said, you need to go to Prayer Mountain. You need to pray and fast. He went up to Prayer Mountain. The pastor went with him. They prayed together. And for several days, he prayed and fasted. And then suddenly, he became ill, vomiting. He was sick. He did that for a few days. He continued on his fast. When he finished being sick, he began to feel better. He fasted and he continued fasting and praying and asking God for his help. And he fasted for 15 days. When he left Prayer Mountain, according to his own testimony, let me read this to you. He said, we went to Prayer Mountain together. While I prayed, the pastor prayed for me. Soon after I arrived at the Prayer Mountain, I began to vomit a lot, and the desire for wine completely disappeared during the 3 days of fasting and prayer. I was so thrilled at the results of my fasting and prayer that I continued. I fasted another several days, thanking God for what he had accomplished. During this time, Christ filled me with the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord in my heart, I spoke with other tongues. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. And he said, from that time on, I knew God had delivered me. He's serving the Lord, and he has ministry right now of his own that God is leading him in. Praise God. Prayer and fasting can bring breakthrough in our life. The next thing is all day fast. Then John's disciples, Matthew 9:14. Then John's disciples came to and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but you, your disciples, do not fast? According to some Bible scholars, the Pharisees had developed a ritual of fasting 2 days a week. And their fast would be, they normally would fast from an evening, because that was their day, to the evening of the next day. And they would, and then they would eat. And they would do this two days a week. Sometimes they'd do it 2 days consecutively. Sometimes they'd do it other time, two different days. But that was their ritual of fasting. And, you know, we know that Jesus condemned the Pharisees many times for their religious practices. And I believe this is one of the things that he condemned them for, was that they were going through the motions, the religious motions of prayer and fasting, but there was no heart to it. There was no desire to do God's will. There was nothing there. There was no fire in it. Fasting can become a religious practice. And I want you to understand, we try to do this on a yearly basis, but I don't want it to become just a religious practice for us. I want it to become something that we anticipate the move of God every time we do it. That we are looking forward to the power of God being released. That we know that God is going to do something, not because of us, but because we are growing closer to our Heavenly Father and we're having ears to hear. Jesus told us we needed to have ears to hear, eyes to see. I see many things right now. I see people sitting in this congregation, but unless I look with spiritual eyes, I don't see the real things that are taking place in our lives. I have to look beyond my physical eyesight. We have to be able to see into the spirit realm. That's why I believe it's so important that we have the supernatural gifts operating among us. Yes, prophecies, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's when we begin to see the other miracles, the healing, the power of God moving. Because we have ears to hear the spiritual insight that God has for us. Fasting is just like any religious discipline. It can become old hat. It can become something that we just do because that's what we do. Sometimes we do things and we don't even know why we're doing them. We have these religious practices that we go through. We were in the Methodist church early on in when we were first saved. And, you know, there were just certain things that you did as a Methodist. And for me, you know, I came in and got saved, received baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just did the things that the Methodists did. The doxology and some of the things that we used to do. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I'm just saying it becomes a religious practice and sometimes we just do it and we don't think about it. I read a story of a church that every week they would sing and at the end of their singing service, they would all turn to this blank wall and they would sing their last song facing the blank wall. One day a visitor came in and he participated in their service, and he said, why do you do that? No one knew. No one could understand why they turned to the blank wall and sang their last song. And one elderly gentleman said, hey, you know, I know somebody that would probably know. We had a pastor here. He's 95 years old. He's still strong, still has a good mind. He would probably know. Why don't you call him and find out? I gave him his phone number. He called up the old pastor and he said, Pastor, I was at this church that you pastored for many years. And at the end of the song service, they got up, they turned to the wall, and they began singing. But this is a blank wall. Why would they do that? The old pastor just laughed, and he said, well, back when I was pastoring, the last song that we would sing on a regular basis was a praise song, and we had it written on the wall. That was many years ago. What a crazy thing to continue doing. But you know what? We do that on a religious basis. We go through the motions. I don't want our prayer and fasting to be something that we just go through. I want it to be important. I want you to take it serious. I want you to know that God is going to speak to you. God is going to intervene in your life. God is going to do mighty things. I'm going to stop right here, but I'm going to tell you one last story about my life, Tammy's life. In 1985, we were house parents at Children's Services. In Athens, we were caring for neglected, abused children that the Children's Services brought into this house that they provided for us. When we moved there, they provided everything. We had a few items at that time in our life, and we really just kind of got rid of everything. We kept a vehicle, and we had a bedroom suit. But everything else, we pretty much didn't have a place for it, so we got rid of it. In 1985, we had been there for a couple years, and during that period of time, I had been praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. I asked God what he wanted us to do from this place in our life. We knew we wasn't going to be there forever. That was a temporary position. So I felt like God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to start a Christian group home. And I said, oh, God. You know, how do I do that? Where do I begin? And I just felt like God said, I'll show you. I'll take care of it. So in 1985, for about a year, we started the process of getting ready to start a Christian group home. We did everything that we could do. The interesting thing is that God just kept bringing people into our life that would help us. And we were able to become a nonprofit organization. We were able to get certifications from the state or approval to be certified once we had a place. We got all the paperwork. We established a board. We put everything into place in about a year. It took some time to do this. And during that period of time, probably about 6 months before the end of the year or the time that I'm going to share with you, Children's Services came to us and said, hey, we're changing things around here, and we're going to use this home. It's going to be different. We're not going to have house parents here any longer. We're going to have rotating staff. So your services will no longer be needed. Now, I want everybody to understand it. You know, they were not being mean to us. We knew that it was a temporary position. We weren't going to be there forever. We knew it would end. They had plans, and they eventually fulfilled those plans. But God had plans for us as well. So they gave us a date. Now, I know it was in the spring. I don't have the exact date, but I believe it was in April. So I'm going to say it was probably the end of April, say the 30th of April. They gave us a date and said, this is when we would like for you to be out of the home. So we had pretty much accomplished everything that we needed, except we didn't have a place. We didn't have a home. And I went and I looked. I searched for a property. I went to realtors and I searched and searched and searched. It had to be something large enough to have several kids in and big enough that we could have our family and be separated from the kids somewhat. We still interacted, but we were concerned about our children, so we kept them separated. at night, particularly. They interacted with the kids during the day. But we had to have the specific size of a place. And I wanted it to be, and I told God, I said, I want it to be close to the Athens area because we need to be able to, to have resources in Athens and interact with the people of Athens. So we searched and searched and searched. And in the meantime, I also went to the banks. And here I am, this kid who had no experience in really operating any kind of business. And I went with my hat in my hand and I asked these powerful bankers if they would fund this operation that no one had any idea what I was talking about. And of course, the answer I always got was, we can't do it. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any resources. I didn't have anything. All I had was a big God. And of course, they said, no, 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 no. So I went back to God. We prayed, we fasted, we sought God. And he reassured me, you're on the right track. Keep going. Keep going. 10 days left to the time we had to leave Children's Services. I was looking through the paper. And I found this property. It was just outside of Athens, just outside of the city limits, perfect. 35 acres, huge house. I went out and looked at it. It was a huge place. The problem was it wasn't finished. It had a lot of work that needed to be done, huge amount of work to be done. My mom, when she saw it, she thought I was crazy. And she's right, I was. Now, my mom is a wonderful woman of faith. But when it came to that group home, she had no faith in the ability to accomplish it. She knew her son. I didn't have the skill and the ability, but it was perfect. And I knew it. And when I saw it, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's it. That's the one. So to make a really long story as short as I can make it so you understand what's happening, in 10 days... God not only showed me the place, he provided private financing, and we were able, on the very day that we were to move out, we were able to sit down, sign the contract, and seal the purchase of that property. Praise God. That's an awesome God that we serve. And I do attribute that, being able to hear and be able to sustain my faith in God by prayer and fasting. This is just one of those disciplines that God wants us to have. Now, I got to tell you something. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. I was young and stupid. But praise God sometimes for stupidity. Amen. Praise God. I don't know that I would take the task on today. I should be filled with a lot more faith than I was back then, but for some reason, I just knew God was going to do it. We had a ton of work that needed to be done. And praise God, in order to accomplish it, we still had to be certified by the state. We had to have a place that was sufficient. And within one year, we took a place that all was showing on the top part of the house was nothing but floor joists. It needed plywood. It needed rooms built. It needed everything, electrical wiring, drywall, all that stuff. Downstairs, the work that had been done was horrible. The guy didn't know what he was doing. The drywall looked like somebody took drywall mud and just threw it on the walls. Terrible looking place. But when I saw it, I saw something that was incredible that God was going to do. And praise God, other people saw it too. Because God had given me the vision for it, not because of me, but because of God, other people began to catch that vision. And we had churches that began to support us and help us and get on board with us. And in 1 year, we were able to remodel that whole place. And it was nice when it was done. And we were able to house I think originally we housed seven teenagers in that house with individual bedrooms for them. We had several years with those teenagers as they came through to minister and to love and to cherish them and to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Some of them turned their hearts to the Lord. Some of them didn't. But that doesn't matter. They had an opportunity to see and know what a real family and how a real family was supposed to operate. I want to encourage you. That was a miracle a long time ago. We've had other miracles. This church is a miracle. This place, the things that God has done, the things He's continuing to do. But I want you to know this. God is not finished. He's not finished with you. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God may just be beginning in your life. Regardless, He is going to do incredible things in your life. But I believe it begins with this time of prayer and fasting. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that we are here today as a congregation, as a group of believers. We're part of the overall body of Christ, Father God, and You have believers all over this world, many different denominations, non-denominational, some people who are unable even to be a part of a body, a congregation, and we pray for them, Lord. They need a body. But we thank You that we stand here before You today. And Lord, as we enter into this time of prayer and fasting, we prepare ourselves and we look forward to what You're doing in our lives. Lord God, we have expectation of incredible, mighty things happening. Testimonies will come forth, Father God, because people have disciplined themselves to pray and fast and seek Your face. We will see mighty things happen. It will happen in this church. It will happen in individual lives. Father God, the kingdom of God will prevail, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We believe that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.